I am Susan Young, and I am the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the Pacifica National Board regular session teleconference meeting, Thursday, April 18th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And would our secretary please call the roll?
You bet. Let me start with Irene Adams.
She's requested an excused absence. But I'll come back on that.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Kaja Brown.
Present.
Thank you, Kaja. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Paul DiRienzo. Oh, he emailed and said he would be late. Jim Dingaman. I'll keep going. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I'll keep going. Fred Dodsworth. I'll keep going. Jan Goodman.
I'm here.
Thank you, Jan. Heather Gray.
Heather, you're muted.
I'll come back. Avalia Jones.
Present.
Thank you, Avalia. Zach Caldvier.
Present.
Thank you, Zach. Darlene Pagano.
Present.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchback.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reason.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Thank you. I'm sending an email to Harvey.
Okay. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Thank you, Serene. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Richard Uzel.
Present.
Thank you, Richard. Did I pronounce your name, your last name properly?
I think so.
Okay. Well, if you think so, then that's good with me. Harvey Wasserman. Egberto Willis.
He's asked for an excused absence.
Okay. Susan Young.
Here.
All right. Let me go back around to the people I didn't catch the first time. Paul DiRienzo said he'd be late. Jim Dingaman. Not yet. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Not yet. Fred Dodsworth. Not yet. Heather Gray. Heather, if you're speaking, you're muted.
Can somebody text Heather?
And Harvey Wasserman.
I will contact Heather.
All right.
Great. Let me know that we called to order at 8:32.
He's going to be late. I just spoke to him. He'll be about 10 minutes late.
All right. And let me just call Fred Dodsworth.
Not necessary.
Thank you, Fred. All right. So we have, looks like 15 members present. So we have quorum.
Excellent. Others attending?
Oh, thank you. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Arthur Schwartz, although don't expect him till the closed session. And Julie Hewitt. I'm here. All right.
Excellent. Okay.
Jim Dingaman. I see his square, his avatar up. Jim Dingaman.
Jim doesn't
no audio,
have audio yet. Okay.
We'll come back to him.
Come back.
So we've done the call to order, the roll call, report out from the executive session of March 21 and April 4 meetings. For March 21, the PNB met in closed session to address legal matters pertaining to the Pacifica response to the FCC letter of inquiry, the Pacifica archives, and confidential personnel and legal matters. For April 4th, The PNB met in closed session to discuss confidential legal, contractual, financial, and personnel issues. Next is excused absences. Three have been requested.
We want our children to grow and thrive and to just...
And may whoever is not muted, please mute. So Irene Adams, Paul DiRanzo is probably late, Egberto Willis. Is there any objection to recognizing those excused absences? Hearing none, they're recognized. Identified timekeepers. Okay, Irene, by the way, who cannot be here tonight because she's not well, she said she will be timekeeper for the next 4 months.
He's a rock star.
Exactly.
He really is.
So do we have a timekeeper for topics?
I'll be the timekeeper for speakers.
Okay, so we've got a timekeeper for speakers, and that is Fred. Okay, all. God forbid I name somebody.
Make it so.
I will do it this one time.
Okay, Teresa, one time, and you get extra points. Okay, at the end of these preliminary items, Julie and I thought it might be nice to welcome Richard Dussel from KPFT and ask him to make very brief remarks.
Now? Thank you all for giving a big part of your lives and hearts to your station and to Pacifica. Yes, I'm from Houston, and no, I don't support New Day. And you want our entire network to survive, prosper, and pay our bills. I look forward to working with all of y'all. Thank you. Peace.
And I lost it right there. Okay, approve the open portion of the agenda. I will read it. Agenda approval, 5 minutes. Approve open session minutes from March 21, 2024, 5 minutes. Committee reports, 25 minutes in total. Audit, 5. Coordinating committee, 5. Finance committee, 5. Governance committee, 5. Personnel committee, 5. Affiliates and AOA report, which is a new thing, 5 minutes. Motion ratifying election for KPFT seat on the governance committee. See the appendix, 5 minutes. Pending outcome of 4B vote, motion on elections for the strategic planning. Pending the outcome on 4B vote, a motion on elections for strategic planning committee, nominations from the floor. So that is if we move forward with standing up the strategic planning committee. ED report and Q&A, 30 minutes. Old business, 15 minutes. Motion on programming committee, motion on strategic planning committee, motion on technology task force. New business, see appendix, 15 minutes. Motion from Serene Roberts on executive session. On executive sessions, motion to move into closed session at time no later than 10:30. ET. So I'm not going to read the agenda for the closed session. Hang on a minute, Myla. I see you and Serene. Adjourn at time certain of 11:30 a.m. ET. A p.m. ET. So Myla had her hand up first and then Serene. And is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Who
is that who moved?
I moved it.
Is there a second?
This one of us second.
Great. Is there any objection?
I have a point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you just tell us what AOA is before we approve the agenda?
Sure thing. It is, and I'm not going to get it right, okay? It is the Association of Affiliates. Did I get it right, Julie? Okay, great. And so this is, they support Kaja and Heather. They're the ones who've nominated them. So Ursula supports them in making this report. Serene, then Jim.
Julie, before I sent the motion that you do have about executive session, I had sent one with regard to correcting the addresses that we have on for the national office everywhere, including on our own website. I just resent it again, maybe about 10 minutes ago when I realized it wasn't on the agenda.
Okay. So is there any objection to adding that to new business? And it's something also that may be able to be addressed by the executive director in the Q&A. Jim Dingman, and then Myla again. Jim.
Yes. I'd like to include a motion that would have a independent investigation as to the physical wherewithal of the archives in California. And the reason is that we have conflicting reports as to the status of what is going on out there with the storage units. And none of us have any sense of what's happening. And I'd like to have some like way to clarify what the hell's going on.
So is there any objection to adding that to new business? We'll add that to new business. Myla, then Avelia.
I just wanted to make sure that people have noticed that Harvey Wasserman has joined the call.
Thank you very much. Harvey, would you say your name? Harvey, would you text him and say, please speak up? And also, Heather?
Harvey's muted.
Could you
Hello, did you want me?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm
so
here.
So Harvey is recognized. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And so, while we're at it, Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I'm here. And Paul is up at Columbia University covering the demonstration stuff up there.
Yeah, we know that. Thank you. And Vanessa Dixon.
Yes, Briggs. I'm here.
Got it. Okay.
So on the list for hands up, Jim and then Avelia.
I'm cool.
Okay. Avelia.
Okay. I'm cool too, but Madam Chair, and with respect to Jim, I'm a part of a group. I'll wait till new business as you designate it that way, but, I'm working on the archives and a report to the PNB regarding that. So if time gets tight, Jim and everyone know that we're getting this together, and I'm going to go in personally with a team, and we're going to see what questions we can answer for you that you don't already know. Any information we'll provide.
Thank you, Avelia.
You're welcome.
Thank you for doing that service. So is there any objection to approving the agenda with the additions that have been brought up? Hearing none. And look who's here. Lean, mean Irene.
I'm just going to be here until I feel that I can't. That's why I didn't want to be timekeeper. But I'm here until I can be.
Bless you, Irene.
Okay. Fabulous. Great, great, great. Okay. Next up, is approve open session minutes for March 21. Secretary, that needs to happen at the next open meeting. They are still in the works.
Yep.
And thank you for working hard at keeping up, close to keeping up. It's a labor of torment, not love.
Point of information.
Yes.
Madam Chair, have we officially approved the agenda? Because I think at that time.
Yes,
okay.
We did.
All right, thank you.
I said, is there any objection to approving the agenda with the additions? There was none.
Thank you.
Okie dokie. Committee reports, starting with, and Irene There, are you ready with a committee report on audit, or shall I give a quick note about it?
She's muted.
Okay.
We have not convened for the audit committee because of the funds not available yet. We will convene as soon as we know that we can move forward with that. If you have anything additional, Sue, please move forward with saying so.
Let me just add that the auditor that performed the audit in 2021, which, by the way, was the last audit we could afford, was selected by the PNB in 2023, and it's a decision of the board as opposed to a decision of management. And I understand that they have agreed to a fee of $75,000 to $85,000, and that amount is included in the executive director's recommendation for part of the use of proceeds when the sale of KPFK goes forward. And delegates have been elected from all stations. Are there any corrections to any of that I provided? Okay, we've got three hands up. Avelia, then Serene, then Myla.
Legacy hand.
Okie dokie. Serene.
Okay, so I don't understand why the audit committee is not meeting. The fact that we don't have money to pay for the audits doesn't mean the committee has no work. There are management letters that are provided each time there is an audit. There are issues that go back several years that need to be addressed. There's no retention and destruction document policy in place. There is maybe someone can actually go looking for someone who will do our audits pro bono. The financial policy and procedure manual, which came out of a previous audit committee, hasn't been revised in about 10 years, and I think might even be longer, might be 2009 or something like that. There's work for an audit committee to do. I don't understand why they're not meeting.
Thank you for those recommendations. Myla?
I have a motion.
Okay. So you're stating that as a motion?
I would like to make a motion.
Please.
Is Myla's comment related to audit? Because I can wait if she wants to do that.
Great. Let's go ahead with Myla and then Fred and then come back to your motion.
Well, along the same lines as of what Serene brought up, there are many responsibilities beyond choosing an auditor for the audit committee. And I thought that I had sent a link to information about the responsibilities of the audit committee to people on that committee. So I agree with Serene, there are responsibilities for the audit committee that go beyond hiring an auditor. Thank you.
So let me ask that you all craft a motion. As the audit committee at the moment does not have a meeting scheduled, and put your motion, maybe it can be the same motion, in new business, and it can come up in the next meeting.
I had a question.
Yes. Go ahead, Fred.
I just wanted to know if the audit for Pacifica is going to include an audit of each of the stations separately.
So, yeah. Stephanie, could you address that?
Yes, it will. For this up, yes, because according to the CPB, we need to have audits for each individual station in order to do, you know, one of the many steps we need to do to get in compliance. So that will be needed for the 2023 audit, not necessarily for the 2022 audit, but since that hasn't been started, we can go ahead and get that done as well to kind of get us ahead of the curve.
Thank you.
Okay, Serene, is that a legacy hand, or are you coming back?
I'd like to make a motion. I don't see any reason why it can't be dealt with under the agenda item of.
I've requested that you bring it in new business so that people can see the motion.
I understand that is your preference. However, I would like to read the motion. I don't think there should be any dispute. It's a standing committee. There's work to be done. Let's get them working.
Read your motion.
Move that the audit committee shall meet within the next 15 days to address a document retention and destruction policy, previous management letters, pro bono audit service, and the Pacifica Financial Policies and Procedures Manual.
Is there a second?
Vanessa seconds.
All right, further discussion. Irene, you've got your hand up.
Well, can someone outside of the committee make a motion for the committee?
I think that's a good question.
This is a newbie asking. I'm just asking.
Believe you me, I asked that it be a new business. As it's gone forward now, I request that we deal with it now. And my apologies, Irene. I don't know that there is a, I don't know what the policy should be on that.
May I respond?
And Jan Goodman for the staff, please.
Okay, Serene, and then Jan.
Okay, so I am, the audit committee is a committee of the PNB, and as a person, as a member of the PNB, I can bring a motion in which the PNB directs any of its committees to act.
Thank you. Sorry, Irene. Go ahead.
I thought subcommittees or committees recommend to the committee.
Recommend to the PNB.
Point of information.
Yes, Teresa.
I believe we have exceeded our time for audit committee.
So. Thank you. So, I think we have as our policy to extend automatically to the stack. Jan's on the stack.
And I think that we have a motion on the floor we have to extend to deal with the motion.
Yeah, but we have to extend a vote. Did you want to
comment? Yes.
Please.
First,
speak
I would
to
like
it.
To comment. Yes. The I can't remember what it was, but the last item on Serene's motion, I question whether or not that is a job of the audit committee, and maybe Serene can address that. And if it's not, then I would second her motion that the audit committee meet and at least do what they can do.
So are you putting forward moving to amend her motion to delete the last, which I think is, what was it, the review of the handbook?
Point of information.
Yes.
Yes. What's your point?
I'm querying whether review of the handbook is part of the audit committee job.
Point of information.
May I respond to Jan?
Fred? Has asked for a point of information.
It's my understanding that any motions need to be put in the chat, and I don't see this motion in the chat, and I'm not entirely sure what the motion is.
So, Serene, can you put it in either the chat or an email?
I'm on by telephone. I think I wrote before the meeting started that I wouldn't have internet access during the meeting. But I'm happy to repeat it, and I'm happy to respond to Jan's question.
So please respond to Jan's question.
The last, the only financial policy and procedure manual that we had did in fact come through the audit committee, and the revision also came through the previous audit committee. And the auditors ask about such a policy manual every time.
Oh, okay.
I second
Serene's motion.
It's already been seconded. And Minerva, we've all exhausted the stack, so we will go ahead and vote on the motion. Is there any objection?
I object
okay. as well, mainly due to process reasons.
And Fred is objecting, as he said in the chat, because he doesn't have the written motion in either the chat. We don't have the written motion either in the chat or in email. Is that correct, Fred?
That's correct. And we're supposed to have these motions before the meetings.
So, Fred, may I suggest that you move to postpone consideration of this until
until the next meeting.
May I reread the motion?
Is there a second?
I second it. It's this Minerva. I second.
Okay, so the vote right now is the motion to postpone to the next meeting. Will the secretary take the roll?
Yes, the secretary will.
So voting yes is to postpone this motion until the next meeting so that it can be provided to the board in writing in advance of the vote.
All right. Here we go. Irene Adams.
Anita. No, I didn't mean to say Anita. Yes.
Yes. Irene's a yes. Teresa Allen?
Allen says yes to postpone.
Teresa's a yes. Kaja Brown?
Yes.
Kaja's a yes. Donna Carter?
Yes.
Donna's a yes. Paul DiRienzo didn't show up. Oh, Paul is here.
I'm back. Survived the protest, wasn't arrested. Yes.
Paul's a yes. Jim Dingaman?
No.
Jim is a no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Vanessa's a no. Fred Dodsworth.
Yes.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Heather's a yes. Evalia Jones.
Yes.
Evalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier.
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback.
Yes.
Ron's a yes. Myla Reason.
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts.
No.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Richard Uzel.
Yes.
Richard's a yes. Harvey Wasserman.
Yeah.
Harvey's a yes. The yeses are 16. The noes are 4.
Chair.
Can I switch to a no? I'd like to switch mine to a no. Thank you.
Was that Paul DiRienzo?
Yes. Yes. Paul here.
I have you down as a no now. So that's 15 yeses and 5 noes if you care to vote, Susan.
No.
Fair enough. Okay. There you go.
Okay, so the next committee report is the coordinating committee. I sent a written report. The coordinating committee has met twice, April 2 and April 16th. Its focus has been discussing whether additional committees should be stood up or working groups, and there are conversations with the executive director about the teams she's put together and also with possible special projects. And one of them is one that we're working on with the AOA and archives people, which is an underwriting roundtable. I'll leave that for the conversation for the for AOA. And there is a motion that was put forward by the committee. Motions from the Coordinating Committee on standing up a Strategic Planning Committee. Be it resolved that the Strategic Planning Committee is stood up to serve in 2024 to be comprised of the officers, including Board Chair, Board Vice Chair, Secretary, Chair of National Finance, the Executive Director, plus one Affiliate Director and one Director representing each station elected by the Board, which committee will address matters that initially include use of proceeds from the sale of the KPFK property, monitoring stewardship of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and the development of a strategic plan for the Pacifica Foundation to achieve solvency. Committee report, motion coming out of committee does not require a second. Is there discussion? Okay, Irene, is that a legacy hand?
That is legacy. I'm putting it down.
Okay, great. Jim? Jim, Serene, and Ron.
All right. I would want to make an amendment that would be added to this motion, and that is all.
Ron, may I ask everybody to mute who's not speaking?
Stop.
Sorry, right, Jim, go ahead.
All right. The amendment would be that the Strategic Planning Committee has previously operated with allowing previous directors who have been members to participate in the deliberations of the Strategic Planning Committee, and I would urge that be done. And the reason was simple. The past people who have been on the committee have done a lot of work. Frankly, this is the only committee, from my point of view, that made any money for the foundation last year. We legitimated the ability to do underwriting, which has raised at least $70,000 in New York and probably more in other stations. And it's important to get the experience of these people into the mix. So the motion would simply be that we go back to how we have operated and allow the previous directors who have served on the committee to participate in deliberations of the Strategic Planning Committee.
You'll notice that we had the same problem here, I think. Jim, you haven't put that in either chat or in email.
Well, as you well know, we discussed this in the meeting that day, and I raised that as an issue, and I suggested you bring forward a
motion to amend.
And that's the motion to amend. It's very simple. We've in the past dealt with motions just like this on the floor, and if not, decided to postpone them for whatever purposes discussed in other occasions. So this is unusual and interesting and a new process that I'm not familiar with in this board for the past 2 years.
Let me just suggest that if this committee is stood up, there will need to be elections. The people who you are recommending be put on are named. So that motion, if you put it together at the next meeting, they would be able to be named after that. The conversation in the coordinating committee was that these people can be invited at any time by committee members to be resource people. At the moment, this is not in writing. Serene, then Ron, then Minerva, then Teresa.
Well, before we stop on this part of it, I have to object to that interpretation because, as I mentioned earlier, we have amended motions in real time in the past. So what's being introduced here is a new process that wasn't done for the past 2 years, in my experience.
Your 90 seconds is up.
Okay. Serene, then Ron, then Minerva, then Teresa, then Myla, then Heather. Serene.
Thanks. Were these meetings live streamed?
Some were.
Well, there were only two. So when you say some, one was and one wasn't, is that it?
You mean what? The coordinating committee meetings?
You're recording on the coordinating committee.
Yes. They were supposed to be live streamed and recorded. Ron.
Okay. I don't think I heard a stream when I checked for the last one, but thank you.
Ron.
My question is this. Is it the role of the coordinating committee to make decisions about these various issues that I mentioned in this motion, or is it to come up with suggestions?
This is a suggestion. It's not a decision.
I'm talking about the activities.
It's a motion to the board.
I'm talking about the activities of the coordinating committee. Okay.
And the coordinating committee, as I understand it in the bylaws, is to deal with preparation for board meetings between meetings. And it has been a place where questions about the agenda have gotten dealt with. This, one of the most important issues that, Jim Dingman brought up about the agenda was whether we were standing up committees. And so this is a place where that agenda question was discussed. It is not a decision of this committee. It is a recommendation that came forward to the board and is under discussion now.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the decisions of the committee itself.
The committee has made no decisions other than meeting.
I know, but what we're talking about is, you know, once they are meeting, once they do meet, and come up with, you know, whatever things they're going to do, will these ideas, suggestions, or whatever, will they be put before the board? Or
yes, they are now. This is what the report is and what the motion is, and the meetings are not closed. Let me move on to Minerva.
Point of information. Time.
Yes. What's
time.
Your point?
Time.
So we've got the remainder of the stack. Minerva, Myla, Heather, Jim, you were on it before. Minerva?
Can I get the motion reread, please?
Hmm?
Can I get the motion reread, please?
We're not voting.
We're not voting because the motion about standing up the committee?
Yes.
It is in writing to you, part of the agenda, and I can reread it, but I'd like to get through the stack. Minerva, Teresa, Myla, Heather, Jim, you've already spoken. Minerva.
Okay. when this did come up, the statement that Jim made was also discussed, and the suggestion was, as the chair stated, to ask these individuals to come in as advisors to help. And he was asked if he wanted to make any changes to go ahead and have an amendment ready for this meeting tonight. So, and as I stated in that meeting, being a new person on the PNB and a new person within this group, that sometimes, and maybe not always, individuals who have historical data come in and they talk so until those of us who are new, we may have ideas. We begin to just kind of step back and let them take it over because this is what they've done for a while. But in having them come in as advisors, then it does help us to make sure we're on the right track. So that was the reason that it was included that, you know, that was why the suggestion was made. These people come in as advisors as opposed to being actual members of the committee. Thank you.
Teresa, then Myla, then Heather. Teresa?
You're muted.
I'm sorry. I'm really looking forward to this committee. I think that we can call in, as we're working on various projects, we can call in all kinds of consultants or past board members or experts to report on things and work on various projects. So I'm really looking forward to having this stood up. And I think that I've always wondered why a strategic planning committee would have most of its meetings in open session. I would think that if you're going to be strategic, you're going to meet oftentimes in executive session. Thank you.
Myla, then Heather.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a process comment. Although there are times when people are not forewarned, have amendments to motions that are well taken, I think that we should stick to the rule of requiring that amendments to motions be made in writing and not just made verbally. And I believe that Mr. Dingman had ample time to prepare a written amendment that he could have sent to this board. So I'd like to suggest that motion to stand up the committee be passed as it is, and that the PNB can in the future change the makeup of the meeting if they so choose. Thank you.
Heather?
Yes, thank you so much. I want to recommend, actually, that the board consider having an underwriting committee, actually. So if we're talking about raising money, and we need to do this all over the country, all radio stations, and it would be a wonderful opportunity to have a collaborative effort, actually, with people from all over the country to explore about fundraising through underwriting. So I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah, and you will have a report on that in the affiliates. Vanessa, your hand up is after the stack. So we will
a point of personal privilege.
What after is your point of personal privilege?
Since my name was invoked. All I asked, I had said I was going to make, and all I did was do a one sentence amendment to this. And I have to object to the idea that I had to offer a written statement because everybody knew I was going to say this.
Okay, your objection is noted. We will go ahead on the vote.
Chair, point of order. I'm sorry, Chair, point of order.
Yes.
Okay, you said that my hand is after the stack. When did the stack cut off?
The stack cut off when Teresa said that we were at the end of the discussion of the time on this item, and the policy that we have adopted is that when we end the timing for the item, that those on the stack, we exhaust the stack for those who haven't spoken before. You were not on the stack at the time. So
I'm sorry, Chair. I just want to say I did not hear anyone say that the time was exhausted. So lots of new policies, lots of new things to remember. Thank you.
Got it. Okay, so I think we've got people who are for and again. So let's take a vote on this, Madam Secretary. So Ron Pinchback asked that this be read again. I'll read it quickly. Be it resolved that the Strategic Planning Committee is stood up to serve in 2024 to be comprised of the officers, including Board Chair, Board Vice Chair, Secretary, Chair of the National Finance Committee, the Executive Director plus one Affiliate Director, and one Director representing each station elected by the Board, which committee will address matters that initially include use of proceeds from the sale of the KPFK property, monitoring stewardship of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and the development of a strategic plan for the Pacifica Foundation to achieve solvency.
All right.
Voting yes, you vote for this committee to be stood up as read.
All right. Irene Adams. Teresa Allen.
Can I pass for now?
You can pass. Absolutely.
Alan says yes for stand up.
Teresa says yes. Kaja Brown.
Yes.
Kaja is a yes. Donna Carter.
Pass.
Donna's a pass. Paul DiRienzo.
Pass.
Paul's a pass. Jim Dingman.
Yes, and I have a point of order when we're finished.
Dingman's a yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Vanessa's a yes. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
Absolutely, yes.
Heather's a yes. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Avelia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Ron's a yes. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
Abstain.
Sean abstains. Serene Roberts?
Abstain.
Serene abstains. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Richard Uzel?
Yes.
Richard's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yeah.
Harvey's a yes. Let me go back around to the people who passed. Irene?
Irene's a yes.
Irene's a yes. Donna Carter?
Abstain.
Donna abstains. Paul DiRienzo?
I'll vote yes.
Paul votes yes. All right. There are 17 yeses and 3 abstentions. Chair, do you care to vote?
Nope.
Okay. The motion carries.
All right. I have a point of order.
Yes. What's your point?
My point is that the interpretation, I understand that this board runs its meetings according to Robert's Rules of Order. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. What the whole battle we just had over the amendment issue, I would suggest that people look at the 12th edition, item 12 on amendments. It states very clearly that the interpretation that was given to the amendment is inaccurate according to Robert's Rules. It says, and this is 12.7, number 2. It says, can be applied to any motion, but in the case of some incidental main motions, only in a limited manner, can also be applied in different limited ways to any other motion that legitimately contains a variable factor. In other words, there's nothing in here that says, and I would suggest people look at this, because we basically have a violation of Robert's Rules in the interpretation of the amendment process. And it does not say anything about
Jim,
what has just been
Jim,
said.
Jim, the policies of this board yeah. are, because we are in Zoom, is right. to provide in writing, and you did have notice. So I'm finding
right,
that
well,
your point of order does not have merit, and we are moving on
well,
to the
I,
next
I
agenda
the,
item, which is...
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
So, okay, you're appealing the ruling of the chair.
Because the chair is, and I would like to motivate what I have to say.
No, we just go for a vote on it, Jim.
Okay, fine.
If you are finding for the ruling of the chair that Jim's point is not well taken. No, you find that Jim's point is well taken, and you're opposing the ruling
Madam
of
Chair?
The chair.
Madam Chair, I'm simply stating Robert's Rule of Orders.
And Robert's Rules policies can be adopted by boards for their meeting management in Robert's Rules, and we have done that. Take the vote, please, Madam Secretary. Yes, you support the chair.
Madam Chair, point of information.
Yes, Jen.
Isn't it true that our bylaws say that our bylaws take precedence over that we adopt Robert's Rules of Order except where we have specifically adopted other rules and procedures, and in that case, our specifically adopted rules and procedures overrule Robert's Rules of Order?
Yes, Jan, and that's the point. And that's the point I'm
yeah,
making.
But,
let's go ahead with
but,
the vote. Let's
oh,
stop arguing
much.
This point and go ahead with
no,
the vote.
But this is new.
Yes,
you have been doing
Please
Jim?
Mute these people.
I'm going to start the roll.
I object
so,
to
Jim,
that.
I am, please, Madam Secretary, note in the minutes that I am calling Jim Dingman out of order for arguing with the chair and disrupting the meeting. And please go ahead with the vote.
May I have
yes,
a point
you support
of,
the chair.
Point of,
no.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you raising a point
better?
Of order, Serene?
I have a point of information.
What's your point?
Okay. So Jan just said that the bylaws trump Robert's rules, correct?
Yes.
But the bylaws are silent on the issue of Zoom, and someone who, like me, is on a telephone and will never be able to put anything on a chat.
So, Serene, I'm finding your point of order does not have, yeah, okay, Madam Secretary.
It's a point of information.
So, Julie's got,
Serene, you are disrupting the meeting, and I wish the secretary to note in the minutes that you are arguing with the chair. Extending this debate unnecessarily and disrupting the meeting.
I want to appeal the confusion of the chair.
Sorry,
we're
going to go ahead with the vote, and you are demonstrating the need for us to have a policy about muting, which has been brought up, and I'm going to ask the coordinating committee to put forward a policy.
Chair, I object also.
It's
we're
ridiculous.
In the middle of a vote.
So,
we were in the middle of a vote when Jan asked her question, and I asked the question
and
about
I know
her question, and now I'm
and
out
I
of order.
That was
not.
An error of the chairs.
It was my error to recognize Jan, and I wish she had been quiet. Now, Secretary, yes, we support the chair. No, you support the Jim Dingman's opposition.
Irene Adams.
I'm going to pass for a moment.
Okay. Teresa Allen?
Yes, support the chair.
Teresa's a yes. Kaja Brown?
Pass.
Kaja passes.
No,
Donna Carter?
I'm sorry, abstain.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. Kaja abstains. Donna Carter?
Pass.
Donna passes. Paul DiRienzo?
Attempt to block the amendment, no, is unfair. He has a right to put his amendment on without having to write.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingman.
Muted.
I'll come back. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Vanessa's a no. Fred Dodsworth.
I support the chair.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
Abstain.
Heather abstains. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach is a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Support the chair, yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
No.
I think I heard Ron say no. Sean Rhodes?
Sean is a no.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts?
No.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes, and I think you skipped Marla Reason.
Thank you. Hang on one second, folks.
Julie, this is Miley. You did skip me, and I vote yes to support the ruling of the chair.
All right, so let me just recap just for a moment because I must have pressed the down button more than one time. Sorry about that. Ron was a no. Miley was a yes. Sean was a no. Serene was a no. Minerva is a yes. All right, now I'm going to continue. Richard Uzzell?
Yes.
Richard's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Okay, now let me go back up to the people who passed. Irene?
Julie, I'm going to abstain on this one.
All right. Irene's an abstention. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna is a no. And Jim Dingman?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just received a phone call from the people being busted at Columbia. So, yeah, I'm a no.
Jim's a no. Okay. The votes are 10 yeses, 7 noes, and 3 abstentions. Chair, do you care to vote?
No.
Okay. So the ruling of the chair is sustained.
Next up on the agenda is the Finance Committee. Is there a report of the Finance Committee from the NFC chair? Muted.
Thank you. Yes, I do have a report. The NFC has been meeting, I think, 3 times now, maybe only 2. We did have to cancel the last meeting because of the very agenda that we set. The material was not available to deal with. So we have also had a new member join since the inception. We have the treasurer from KPFK resign. And now that KPFK has had a chance to have their own election, they put forward, Stephen Meeks, that's it, Stephen Meeks to join us. And he'll be at this upcoming meeting on Tuesday. If people don't remember the very first report out, I've been elected the committee chair. R. Paul Martin from WBAI is the committee secretary. And we do have now one director and one treasurer from each station. So it's a fully staffed committee. Let's see, our upcoming meetings. We are going to be meeting twice a month on the 2nd and the 4th Tuesdays in between the weeks of PNB meetings. And so this coming week, the 23rd, and then the 2nd Tuesday in May, the 14th, are our next meetings. We are focused on taking figuring out issues from the budgets that we've been getting. This particular committee has only passed one budget on our watch. We inherited the WBAI budget decisions, and we had the KPFA decisions. The only ones still to do are PFW, which I understand met with their LSB just this past week, and then we will go into the national office budget, which then will bring up the question that most of us have wanted to talk about, which is the central services payments that are not being made by most of the stations. We have received consolidated financial statements from the national office for the first quarter, and we'll be digging a little deeper into those than just the reviewing that we did at the last meeting we held. And they are not yet ready to present to the PNB. That's the consolidated financials, because of questions that are still open. And we will be making commitments that our goal will be to hold each station accountable for the performance in those consolidated financials. And that's my report, Chair.
Are there questions to Darlene about the Finance Committee? Myla.
Yeah, my question, Darlene, is you said we received the first quarter consolidated financials.
Yes.
Have those been distributed to members of the Finance Committee?
To the Finance Committee, yes. I'm sorry. When I was making that report, the we I was using was the Finance Committee. Identity. Thanks.
Right. No, I understand. I just wanted to make sure that members of the Finance Committee did receive the consolidated financials.
Yes, they receive them in confidential situations.
Madam Chair, time.
Thank you. Okay, there are no other hands up at the moment. Let us apologize. Irene, did you have a question for NFC?
Yes, I did. And I was trying to put my hand up and I couldn't before the time.
Okay, so what's your question?
I'm ready for you, Irene.
The only thing is that when the and this is my rookie question, when the LSBs present their budgets to you, do we have the right to ask about certain line items for those budgets?
We go over the budgets with the with all the treasurers, but especially the treasurer for that station and the director for that station. And Stephanie is there as well. So we go over all of with that feedback. Then we send it to the PNB, and the PNB gets to ask all the questions at once.
So, Darlene, if there's a budget line item on the budget that, like me, I may want or need an adjustment to, do I give that to you, or do I, at what point do I present that?
Well, if you haven't talked to your own finance committee or brought it up in your LSB meeting when you all went over the budget, then you can raise the question in the PMB meeting. I do not know, and I'll have to look this up, if the PNB, how detailed the changes are that the PNB can make to the budget, but I will let you know.
Okay. Yeah, I can raise this question to you personal, you know, through personal, but we just need a budget. We're looking for a GM right now, and there's no money for our ad. And we need to find out where we can get that money from. And we just need it incorporated in our budget.
For that, may I say, Irene, bring that to the executive director for being able to shift money around in and out of the national office. She has been able to work with folks on small amounts, smallish amounts. So I would say also bring that to the executive director.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Bob.
She bring it to the director and the treasurer, the WPFW, who serve on the NFC. Be prepared to address.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next up, governance.
Okay. We have met twice, once on March 19th when the elections had not been certified for all delegates. And while we had a quorum and held a meeting, we postponed the election of a permanent chair until all members were elected and able to attend. The convening meeting was held on March 27th. I served as chair pro tem and Michael Chang was elected to be permanent secretary. An open ballot was authorized to elect the permanent committee chair with myself and Michael D.D. White as candidates. I set up a Google group to provide a platform for community members to share ideas and recommendations. The nice thing about Google groups is they are legacy, so you can go in there and look and see what people have said at any time. You can't delete them. There was considerable discussion about whether all could access the Google group. I'm now able to say that all have. And it was agreed that those who could access the Google group would send their comments and ideas to me, and I would forward that information to the Google group and the individuals. Julie Hewitt provided a parking lot of bylaw-related issues that she has assembled over 2 years serving as chair, and her analysis has been included in the Google group. Additionally, Julie gave introductory remarks about the different ways that the bylaws can be amended in consideration as to how those can be scheduled during the year. She also noted that some may be easy to agree upon and others not. Similarly, she recognized that some bylaw revisions may be of great importance and some not. It was noted that the Corporation Public Broadcast has criticized Pacifica's bylaws as cumbersome and need to be simplified. It was also noted that our bylaws may no longer be in compliance with California state law or FCC regulations. It was suggested that perhaps Kaja and Michael D.D. White of New York are informed about such matters and could take on that issue. I have not heard an affirmative back on that. It was noted that there was some question about CAB versus LSBs, CAP versus LSBs, and whether we need both and what subjects are appropriate for either, both, or neither. Jim Dingman, I understand, agreed to look into clarifying those issues. And additionally, it was noted that we may have bylaw amendments that are in conflict, that are in conflict with our bylaws amendments that have not, with our bylaws and bylaw amendments that have not been appropriately adopted by either the vote of the, all the members or a vote of three of the five LSBs. It was requested that each member of the governance committee needs to send the Google group or the chair, and the chair will forward to the Google group such specific sections of the bylaws they're willing to take on to examine and assess. Other ideas and questions were brought forward, including a suggestion we do a page-by-page review of the bylaws and catalog and review all motions adopted by the PNB. The committee meets next April 25th from 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time by Zoom. So reported by me, the chair pro temp.
Are there questions for Brett and the committee?
What's the most controversial bylaw change that you foresee?
I don't. I mean, to be honest with you, Paul, I'm not getting any feedback from the members that really directs me to address specific things other than that which I've just elucidated. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's kind of an open session. If you've looked at, or if you were, I don't, you were not here, I don't think, when Julie brought this up at the PNB, you know, there's some things that just aren't really functional. And there are real questions about FCC regulations, about California state law, and about amendments that have been adopted but not elected by all the manners in which we are supposed to approve these things. We're pretty new in the game. We're excited and interested in making the bylaws in compliance with Corporation for Public Broadcasting, in compliance with the FCC, in compliance with San Francisco, with state law in California, and in compliance with itself, and simplified.
Let me move on with some more questions.
Sure.
Serene, then Jim, then Ron.
Okay. I would be very interested in seeing Julie's compilation. Are you able to send that to the PNB, Ms. Secretary?
I would ask Julie. Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
I said Ms. Secretary.
Yeah. Well, gender's a...
Ms. Secretary, excuse me.
I'm happy to send it.
Great. Thanks.
Jim Dingman, then Ron Pinchback.
Yeah, that was the same question I had.
30 seconds.
Pardon? Okay, Ron, 30 seconds to the end of the of this topic.
Well, Jim, I just wanted to say, yes, I agree that we should get that. And also, I would suggest that everybody on the board start trying to internalize the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Community Service grant issues, because that's the kind of stuff that we need to do to integrate the kind of things that Fred was talking about regarding the community advisory boards. But everybody should have a say in that.
Ron?
He's
Ron,
muted.
You're muted.
Time's up.
Yeah, my question for is this. It seems that there's been a conclusion that some of our bylaws need to be changed for a variety of reasons. Now, the Pacifica bylaws, have existed for quite some time, and they have served the network well. So, I'm just concerned that this rush to change the bylaws. I would like to know what bylaws this committee feels are cumbersome that need to be changed, and how they propose to change them. That's my concern. I want to hear more about any changes to the bylaws that change our charter. So, you know, that's it.
May I respond?
Yes.
Like every committee, we make suggestions that are brought back to the PNB. We don't change anything. The PNB does. We are simply meeting as a group to look at all these issues and to bring back suggestions to the PNB that the PNB will have to approve or reject. There are real issues. You're right. We've had these bylaws for many, many years, and the laws have changed. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has changed, and the FCC has changed. And we have passed bylaws that conflict with other bylaws that we have passed. And we have not actually, please let me finish. We have not actually codified the bylaws that the PNB agreed to by having either the vote of the membership or by having three of the five LSBs approve those changes. So we're just trying to bring us into compliance and make the entire job easier.
And all I'm asking is that we'd like to see which bylaws.
You will. You're on the PNB.
I'm on the PNB.
Come back
right.
to the PNB.
But listen, you're meeting in committee.
That's okay. Correct. We're meeting as a working committee.
Let me remind everybody that as directors, you are able to audit any committee. So you can be in and listen to the committee. At the moment, this committee has no recommendations that it's bringing forward.
And that's what I'm asking. If you have,
and there are none at the moment.
If they have some suggestions or recommendations, I would like for them to put them forward in the next report.
That is required.
So, I'm going to let Serene, what's your question?
She came on afterwards.
Understood.
Okay, thanks. I have two questions, actually. One is, I would like to see a list of these bylaws that you say have been applied but not properly approved.
We're looking for you to find those bylaws. We don't know.
No, I'm sorry. You just made a very strong allegation that we have bylaws that have been adopted that didn't follow the proper procedure.
They're not in compliance.
Please don't interrupt me because you're running out. You're running down the clock. Yes.
No, the clock's already been run down.
So understood. Fred, let her finish. And so yes, if he's got a list that comes through this conversation, he will provide it.
I just heard in your conversation, your statement to Ron, you made statements that we have bylaws that conflict with other bylaws and bylaws that have been put in place that did not receive the proper approval from LSBs and the membership. And that's a pretty strong allegation to make. So I'd like to see the group of changes that, I mean, someone must have identified it for you to say that. So I'd like to see those. I'd like that to be sent to
and
the board.
And he has said yes, that he will provide them. And Julie, you have your hand up.
I said there were two things.
You have stated what your question is, and we're trying to answer it now.
Excuse me, I said I had 2 points.
What's your second point?
I began asking, and then Fred started speaking.
The second point is that
you just made a statement that directors can audit any meeting in the foundation. And,
I said any PNB committee meeting.
Any PNB, it's the PNB, the committees, the LSBs are committees
and
of
so,
the PNB.
And that's a different issue, so, Serena. There is a motion that has been adopted in the past. And this is out of order. And we're going to continue.
How is
Julie,
it out of order
you
when
answer?
You keep interrupting me and won't let me finish my statement?
I'm sorry, but this is out of this is you know, these delegates need to make their points and ask their questions without interference. That's all we're asking.
We're talking about the governance committee, which is essentially the rules committee. If you can't ask questions about the rules, what are we doing? My point is that a director can attend any governance meeting in the foundation because the PNB is the mother, if you will, of the LSBs, and their subcommittees are also subject, you know, to attendance by any director. But the fact is that directors have refused to provide information to participate, and you keep misstating the situation as directors are able to audit any committee. Directors can attend any meeting they choose. Whether they can speak at those meetings are up to the body itself. Each body can make that decision. You don't get to say you can attend such and such a meeting, and you, Madam Chair, will decide how that body chooses to handle its guests.
So thank you, Serene. Julie, you wanted to respond to her first question. Serene, you have gone on and said over and over.
3 minutes and 30 seconds.
I said you're welcome. That's all. You said thank you. I said you're welcome.
For 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Julie, did you have a response?
Yeah. The point I was going to make is I think what Fred was referring to when he said that there were bylaws amendments, there were some that are not approved bylaws amendments, but they were ones that came forward before. They didn't get fully heard. And so then the question is, they didn't get voted in. We're not abiding by them. And so the question is, do we reconsider them? It's really that simple.
Thank you for the clarification. Appreciate it. Now, the next committee report is personnel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Personnel Committee met on Tuesday, April 15th, and I served as convener and then Chair Pro Tem. Susan Young was Secretary Pro Tem. We have not yet initiated officer nominations. The committee agreed upon a schedule for the annual ED evaluation to coincide with the fiscal year, with the evaluation process to take place in October and report to and vote by the PNB in November of 2024. Then we initiated a fact-finding process to consider how to best advise LSBs about bylaw stipulated annual GM and PD reviews. That does not mean we conduct those reviews, but we will assist as requested as possible. So we started with, we asked the ED to provide GM and PD job descriptions, and representatives from each station have been tasked with finding out when the GM and PD reviews were last done and the models used to conduct those evaluations. We voted that evaluations of the ED, GMs, and PDs should all include criteria about audience growth, programming effectiveness, and revenues that result. Then we agreed that an executive session should be permitted as a standard for every agenda to address confidential personnel management issues. Open parts of the personnel committee are streamed. Executive session portions are not streamed. And our next meeting is scheduled for the third Monday of every month, which happens to be May 20th at 8:30 Eastern. Thank you.
Are there questions for Teresa? Jim, you got your hand up?
I do. So Teresa, I know I sent in the form that you asked, but everybody wanted to see from New York. Where are we at with everybody else? Have other forms come in from other stations?
I'm sorry, I had an operation today and I have not read my email. So.
All right. Hope you feel better.
I'm fine.
Serene.
Thanks. So there's a portion of the bylaws. I don't have it now, but I actually wrote to the PNB about it at the time that it was being discussed last year. The LSBs are required to evaluate the ED. And the PNB, the PNB's personnel committee had, the last time there was a real personnel committee, helped coordinate that, coordinate the participation of these 120 delegates. So that needs to be factored in. But I'm not sure whether, and I'm sorry, I was interrupted during Teresa's report, so I might have missed this. It's important to recognize that the boards operate on a December to December timeline, where the PNB operates on a February to February timeline. So whatever the timing is going to be, since presumably the ED will also be evaluating the management, the GMs anyway, it's important to keep all of that aligned, not identical, but that it's planned so that things are actually happening when people have some information to evaluate. So scheduling, for example, someone sits on the board in December and you schedule an evaluation to take place too early in the year, they will barely know what their name is, far more of what the GM is supposed to be doing. Also, with regard to the evaluations around the network, people who do similar work should be evaluated using a similar process and a unified job description, where there are places where, you know, because our stations aren't identical, but there will be places. So there will be places.
90
where people,
seconds is up.
Okay, thanks. Let me just wrap up. Where a GM here may not do the same thing as a GM there. So those exceptions can be made, but generally we should be using the same measuring stick for the same position.
I think we are. Thank you, Serena. I think we are addressing those issues, but thank you for the reminder.
Irene, then Darlene, then Jim.
Woo-woo! Teresa, what a fantastic first meeting we had. You were fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to say that. We did address those things. And I was just, I'm just still in awe of your awesomeness. We have our marching orders in place right now, and we're working on them and it's making things, uniform is the most important thing. And I'm appreciating all the work you're going to do toward that and all the work that you said we would do toward that. So, woo, woo, woo. I love you.
Well, I can say I had the opportunity to work with Nia Bediako and then Darlene Pagano, and both of those experiences were wonderful. So I'm looking to have a productive year.
So, Jim, I think you're next.
Yeah, I would mention that I've been on this committee now for 2 years, and that all the issues that Serene has raised have been brought up in detail by everybody. But thank you for bringing them up again and reminding us. But I would say that we've argued about these things incessantly for 2 years, and we're, you know, going to try to implement and synthesize those kind of things in going forward.
Thank you, Jim. All right, so I think we're through with Personnel Committee. Affiliates, an AOA report. Is this Kaja? Are you ready to take it away?
Yes, I am. All right, so this is the report that I was asked to give you, that as far as finances at the halfway point of the fiscal year, the affiliate network has collected 53% of projected income from affiliate fees. What that looks like is projected income from 2024 fees, $241,370. Actual received so far is $129,000. Out of the projected $5,000 in donations, $4,400 has been received. Out of the projected $7,000 in grants, $6,100 has been received. Last year there was a low power FM filing window. And so some of those stations are starting the process of coming online. And as they're doing that, the affiliate network is working towards an increase in affiliates and income from new fees to meet, the projected budget growth of approximately 4,500, which is a little less than 2%. We're on track with our operation and fiscal goals for 2024, but due to numerous expenses, continue to operate with great caution, close to the financial edge. Election coverage and news training with generous financial help from the Association of Affiliates. We're working on developing a training process for reporters at stations throughout the network, covering an upcoming, the upcoming presidential election season. This is an initiative of Pacifica Foundation to help its affiliate stations train community-based volunteer producers and staff to produce responsible community-based news while creating a network of local reporters for coordinated Pacifica national coverage of the 2024 election and other events of global importance. In the larger scope, it is to further Pacifica's mission of responsible citizen participation in democracy and further independent media. And Ursula is in conversation with Stephanie Wells and various other managers in Pacifica about how to integrate this resource of reporters at affiliate stations into Pacifica's election coverage. Let's see. Internetwork support. At the request of the PNB chair, we're organizing a roundtable discussion with Pacifica sister stations and Pacifica affiliates to exchange information and best practices about underwriting. We also continue to host monthly Zoom roundtable meetings for network member stations. Recordings of these can be found at pacificanetwork.org, where a link can be found at the top of the website. The most recent included a presentation by Pete Tredish, who is a renowned radio builder and engineer, speaking about solar energy for radio. And then finally, the Grassroots Radio Conference will be held September 26th through the 29th. It will be hosted in New Orleans by distinguished affiliate WHIV, whose manager is an internationally renowned infectious disease doctor. And that's about all I have. I'll try to answer. I'll try to answer them if I know anything.
And everybody will be notified about the roundtable discussion about underwriting. There are questions. Jim, Serene, Teresa.
All right. Well, that sounds great. The one thing I want to stress, I'll maybe call Ursula up on this, is that that training that she's initiating, Ursula has in the past talked with me at times about developing the kind of things that NPR and the BBC does, where they have essentially modules for training people in radio production in general. And I would hope that we can actually move forward this year and start developing that with the affiliates, because the affiliates are, to me, the great strength and underground strength of the whole network. These guys got their shit together sometimes way beyond we do, and I just think that we really have to work together with them and learn from what they're doing. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
I appreciate that compliment, Jim.
Serene, then Teresa.
Okay, so I have two things. One is, just to clarify for people, when it says the Association of Affiliates, that's the name that that group of stations, I think it's like four stations, chose to operate under. It's not like an official Pacifica title. So the next one can be, you know, the Pepsi Generation Affiliates or whatever. And my question is, I was looking at Pacifica.org, and maybe Ursula can address this, Kaja, in your next conversation. But when you look at the, what do you call it, the banner across the top where it has all the subtitles, when you click on, so I'm not online now, so I can't actually remember which one it is. But when
you
click
I'm
on
the website,
them,
so walk me through it. What are you?
Oh, great.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's Pacifica.org. When you click on maybe home, you see the affiliates listed there, correct?
It has a link to the Pacifica Network website.
Okay, and then a couple of bars over is where you see the sister stations and the affiliates. I don't remember the name of that subtitle, subheading.
I just see something that says stations, and then there's a drop down that says stations that takes you to the streams of all the Pacifica five stations.
There's something. Do you see the one that has the archives listed?
90 seconds, Serene.
Yes. Okay. Well, no.
Sensitive information no. time.
Wait.
But go ahead, just so we don't waste time.
Yeah, my question was, and maybe I'll get back to it later, is that the affiliates should be listed somewhere where the archives and all the other units are listed. I was struck by the fact that someone could click on one of those tabs and not see the affiliates at all. Because
okay,
it's like 200 opportunities for growth.
I'll make sure to bring that up. Thank you for that.
And Petri dish is fabulous. He pronounces it Petri dish as in the old, you know, science experiment. Anyway, thank you.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Teresa, then Darlene.
Just quick question. Okay. First of all, time's up. Kaja,
yes.
Did you say that the grassroots radio conference is going to be in Louisiana, and what are the dates?
It's going to be in New Orleans, and it's going to be September 26th through the 29th.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Darlene.
Kaja, I've always been saying, because I think I got it from Ursula in one conversation, that the affiliates are 239 stations.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we talk about the five Pacifica stations, but the PAN, which is what Pacifica calls the Pacifica Affiliates Network, that's what what Pacifica named that unit, has 239. So there's a lot more going on there than probably that's going on within our purview. Thank you. That's all.
Good report. Thank you. Okay. Number six on the agenda is motion ratifying election for KPFT seat on the governance committee. And that is in the appendix. I'm going to read the motion. Whereas the Pacifica National Board held an election for the KPFT director to serve on the governance committee, and the teller's report dated March 27, 2024 has been shared with all directors. Be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board ratifies the teller's report and affirms the duly elected KPFT director on the governance committee to be Teresa Allen. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that motion is approved. Number seven is a motion on elections for the Strategic Planning Committee, which is to be taken up because the Strategic Planning Committee was stood up. This is apart from any motion to amend that might come forward. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. Whereas in a vote on April 18th, the PNB stood up a Strategic Planning Committee for 2024, and whereas for in-person meetings, Pacifica's parliamentary authority specifies that the chair appoints tellers to distribute, collect, and count the ballots and to report the vote. And whereas since the suspension of annual in-person meetings, the PNB has been conducting its elections via electronic mail, be it resolved that the election of directors to the Strategic Planning Committee shall be conducted via electronic mail using instant runoff voting with write-in votes allowed, with Terry L. Goodman serving as chair of tellers and Sarah Roos serving as secondary ballot recipient and teller. Further resolved that all currently serving directors are authorized to vote and will be sent voting instructions and ballots via email by one of the tellers on or after Friday, April 19th, 2024, and the poll shall close Saturday, April 27th, 2024 at 11:59 Pacifica Daylight Time. The chair of tellers will distribute preliminary tally results to all voters soon after the tellers agree on those results. If for some reason Terry Goodman or Sarah Roos are unwilling or unable to conduct these elections, the chair is authorized to designate other neutral persons not involved in governance to do so. If quorum is not met by the close of polls, the chair of tellers is authorized to reopen the polls and declare a new deadline. election ties are to be resolved and the final results declared by the person presiding at the next meeting of the board after the preliminary tally distribution. A director with good bandwidth can share a screen and flip coins via random org coins. The final results should be ratified by board vote. To facilitate these elections after the adoption of this motion, the secretary shall send to both tellers the roster of current Pacifica directors with email addresses, the names of the nominated candidates, and the seats to which they have been nominated. The exact text of this motion, as finally adopted, the date of this motion's approval, and the name of the approving body. Is there any objection to this method of electing directors for the Strategic Planning Committee? Hearing none, the next, I'm sorry, is that Teresa and Serene both have your hands up. Are you speaking to this motion?
I am.
Okay, Teresa, are you speaking to this motion? You had your hand up first. Serene, go.
No.
Yeah. Teresa? Okay, Serene, go ahead.
Okay, so the language around if Terry and Sarah are unavailable, I would like to change it to that. I think we did this before. That Terry shall be asked to identify persons within Pacifica who can substitute, because he's been doing it for a while and he knows the other people who can do it correctly.
Thank you, Serene, for that correction. Yes, we made that change before at your suggestion.
Can we make that policy just period so we don't have to keep amending it?
Absolutely. Is there any objection to making Serene's recommended change that it would be up to Terry and Terry Goodman to select a neutral party rather than the chair? Hearing none.
Suggest a neutral party.
Mila?
Yeah, point of information. I heard two different things. I heard Serene say, if I heard it correctly, that Terry should choose someone within Pacifica. But I think that what we all agreed on was that Terry would find a neutral party, but did not specify that that neutral party came from within Pacifica.
So, Serene, do you agree with Mila's recollection?
My intention is to have Terry identify someone who is capable of doing it, which means both technically accurate, responsible, and trustworthy. Wherever he finds them, whichever planet, I'm fine. But the decision should be his.
Point of information.
Sure, got it. Fred?
We are now at 7:11. We have a 30-minute report from the ED, and we have a time-positive move to executive session in literally 19 minutes. It's really a shame that there have been so many disruptions to our schedule.
And the time is up, I'm sorry to say.
So we're about to take a vote. Is there any disagreement with Serene/Mila's change in the wording that Terry Goodman recommend a neutral person if he is unable to serve in that capacity? Hearing none, is there any objection to that motion as
amended?
Me or Sarah. Here's Sarah. Is there any objections to the motion as amended? Thank you. Hearing none, that is approved. We are, we've done this.
I'd like to move the agenda to the executive director's report.
Excellent. Okay. And I believe that that's where we are now. Thank you. Executive director. Stephanie, would you be kind to give your report? And I think you've given us a written report as well.
Yes. The ED report covers our payables as of today, and we have roughly $1.3 million in aged payables. Some of those are current, so they're not that aged. Good news, though, is that we have finally been able to say that we have officially paid off the past due amount to Southern California Edison for KPFK. So we've been able to get caught up with that. We also have paid off two severance packages at KPFK and also a settlement from a lawsuit that was being charged against KPFK. So that's been great for their bottom line, particularly since they're in the process of moving and we've, you know, had a lot of not planned for expenses that just kind of deal with moving. So that's been very helpful. And a lot of those moving expenses, fortunately, also have been able to be covered by the national office. With the rental of space, we've been able to cover the first, the last month, and security deposits on not only the two office spaces, but then also the additional space that we rented just across the hall. That would be extra space for the membership department and some extra space for the archives. And then we're also looking at some additional offsite space as well for the archives. We just need to look at a little more details on some of that, that lease and what some of those move-in expenses will be. We also, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but we have no past due rent for the building at WBAI. They received, that building was sold to a great nonprofit group, and they have reached out to all of the tenants and said that they will be speaking with everybody soon to negotiate a new lease. But they have let us know that there will be no increase in the cost of the rent with that, but we are trying to lessen our footprint a little bit. And we may have to put down a new first and last. We're not too sure, but we're looking forward to talking with them. Also, we are still working. Arthur, our legal counsel, is still working with the U.S. Department of Treasury to try to transfer the Small Business Association. I'm sorry, my cat of all times has decided I need to be with you. The Small Business, all this whole time, she's had nothing to do, and now she's like, I need to sit there. The Small Business Association Economic Injury Disaster Loan, as we mentioned before, was transferred to the U.S. Department of Treasury, and so Arthur Schwartz, our legal counsel, our general counsel, has been trying to work with them to ship the loan back to the SBA, so hopefully we'll be able to get an update on that. And we're still working, excuse me, with FJC revising the terms of the loan. The total past due interest that we have due on both of those loans is a little over $630,000. And the total loan payoff for both of those loans, the FJC loan payoff is $2.5 million. And the, excuse me, Small Business Association Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or what we often refer to as EIDL, is $2.7 million. So we'll hopefully be able to get an update on that. As mentioned with the Los Angeles building, the close of escrow was extended to April 28th, thanks to the buyers, allowing us to be able to have additional time in order to work out the logistics of those two loans. KPFK began broadcasting from their temporary location mid to late March. And so far, it's, you know, there's a few hiccups here and there, but it's amazing to me with the volunteers that we have, Charlie Wilkham, Bert Weiner, Richard Dawson, and our staff, Michael Novak, Stuart Landau, Mark Maxwell, Terry Guy, Mo Thomas, John Amelia, Otis McKay, all of them have just been working above and beyond, working out those little kinks as they happen. And we do appreciate it when people do send us emails, and I get those. Michael Novak, the interim general manager, gets them as well. If they have any sort of hiccup or they hear something odd on the air, it's helpful for us to be able to know what that is. We're working closely with the buyers to make sure that the move out is as smooth as possible, and they understand that we can't hire a lot of the movers or junk removal until we receive the funds from the sale. So they're being very patient with us as we get everything cleaned up and ready to go. And as I said, we did add another larger space on the same floor where we are. So that is for additional space for an office working space for the archives, some storage for KPFK, and then also the membership department. And then, as I've mentioned before, we are also looking at a couple of extra spaces that we can make sure that all the materials for the archives are in one central location, so we don't have to continue to pay for the storage space that we have. And we're just looking to either increase the amount of storage that we have, or better yet, move them into one central location. So we have had a couple of places that we've been looking at. We have narrowed it down to one space, but there are some things that we still need to work out as far as the logistics with that. And that extra space came actually from someone that is a listener to KPFK, who was at one of the yard sales, or, you know, moving sales that was there, and he was sharing that he had some space for storage. So there, one of the things, Serene Roberts had requested job descriptions for the national office staff. So attached to the ED report are the job descriptions for the executive director, the national business manager, the national compliance officer, a national IT specialist, and then also attached is a draft that I, that was from 2014. I couldn't find anything that had been updated. That was for the national technical director. So that, is one of the things that, you know, I'm hoping that the personnel committee, as we've sort of asked before, is that they would help, which is what they're going to be doing, is figuring out what we have job descriptions for, what we don't have job descriptions for, and what needs to be updated. So for example, the national technical director, which is, our good pal Otis, the only draft that I could find was something from 2014, and there was nothing in any of our records of anything that had been updated since then. So hopefully the personnel team will help with that. We are still working on filling and getting volunteers for our working teams. The staff throughout the foundation is very excited to have these working teams and are eager to be a part of the conversations. And we have started some of these conversations already. But every time I am on an LSB meeting or a CAB meeting, or just word gets out other ways, I do have people that email me and contact me wanting to be a part of these working teams. As we've talked about already, one of the working teams is underwriting, where we would be working with, as a guideline, the motion that we passed on underwriting. But we want to be able to create a team that can, again, help put a lot of that information together in an easy assessment for the stations to be able to follow. As far as evaluating any requests that we have for underwriting, financial support, grants, or sponsorships for the divisions, and then also, again, following that motion passed by the PNB and also FCC guidelines, reviewing the potential of underwriters and making sure that they fit in alignment with our mission. And then, of course, we're going to be rolling out a compliance plan within the next 60 days or so. That will be for everyone at the stations, the programmers and the staff. And that will also give us a great guideline as to what we can and cannot do regarding underwriting and keep us in compliance. We have also had a few people step up willing to that have a great interest in accounting. That will help with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or the CPB compliance group, and that they will be working with us to go through past records to get us back into compliance with some of the requests that the CPB had outlined to us that we need to follow in a letter they sent to us in March 2013, and then another follow-up in 2021, and then in a recent letter they sent to us in 2023. So our goal, as said before, is that we want to bring ourselves into compliance in order to be eligible to apply for future CPB funding. Again, another issue or another working group we want to kind of put together is the grid review. A lot of the program directors are very eager for this, and also the program sharing group. And with this, we want to be able to have people that are interested and willing to listen to and look at grids at stations. It would be interesting to be able to have people from other stations, you know, listen to other stations' programming rather than just something that they're used to. And what they will be doing is being able to review the programming in order to kind of get a better understanding as to what our target audience is. Do we have a diverse range of content to keep those listeners engaged? and then planning and working with the program directors and the general managers and the programmers to make sure that we are planning and adapting our schedules based upon community feedback. And we have had some CAB members provide me with some surveys that they have already created to make sure that they are reaching out, that their stations are reaching out to the communities. So with that, we hope to then be able to make sure that our programming resonates with our audience, you know, which thereby is increasing our memberships and also our listeners and then therefore our financial support. And then with program sharing, we've been having conversations with the general managers for quite some time regarding this and also the affiliates, in making sure that we are really utilizing the programs that we have to share those across the stations and to make sure that there are programs within AudioPort that people can use from our affiliates. And if there's any sort of space that we need to fill within the stations, or if there's just a great program, which there are many of them out there, that can go across the network, we'd be happy to do that. And we just want to make sure that people have that option and know that there are programs that are out there. So again, my ultimate goal with this is to be able to create a catalog of sorts where people can literally just go through and say, we need a program on labor. We need a program on this. We need a program on that. And then be able to put that across the network. And then also focusing on getting some of that national programming happening. And as Kaja had mentioned, Ursula and John Amella and I and others have been talking about making sure that we have some national programming in place for the upcoming elections. And then we're also talking about the possibility of having some labor-related programs that go across the stations as well. Does anybody have any questions?
I think we've got Jim and Heather both have their hands up.
Jim? Oh, you wanted to go? Okay. Several questions. First of all, the question of getting data from the stations. I actually have data to share with the board that's rather specific, hour by hour breakdowns of how shows are performing in New York. Now, we put motions in to get that kind of information. I haven't seen that yet. So that's one question. Number two, in terms of the grid reviews, this is one of the reasons why we need a programming committee, because, you know, I think it's great to do grid reviews. How are they going to do it? What's going to be their criterion to evaluate the shows? How trained are they to do it? What metrics are they going to use, in terms of doing that? And finally, the question of, the status of the archives. As I mentioned earlier, it's unclear as to the level of damage in the archives. I mean, there could be nothing wrong with them, okay? But I get a whole slew of conflicting reports as to the, you know, deterioration of one storage room versus other storage rooms. And so, you know, I heard earlier that Avilia said they're going to do it. Well, we need to get real detailed information about that. Like, people have to crawl in there, pull out the stuff, look at the bottom stacks. Supposedly one of them got water damage. We need to find out that kind of information, to get a sense of what we're dealing
with. Jim, your 90 seconds are up.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay.
I am planning a site visit to each of the storage sites so I can get a better understanding as to what's there. There are some additional storage sites. I believe there's a total of 5. I thought there were just 2 or 3. So, I am going to plan a site visit on each of those and, dig through, see what we have, take photographs, and then that can give me a better understanding as to what everything is. As far as the hour by hour, I do receive reports from stations during their pledge drives that are pulled from Allegiance data. And then KPFA also has their own. They created a spreadsheet a while ago. I haven't seen an updated version, but I can easily, I'm sure, request that. But I do get KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI during their pledge drives. And that's from Allegiance data. So if there's, I mean, we can provide programming updates, but, you know, we need, once we get into Allegiance, you can just set that date and then pull those reports. So is it, you know, do you need, you know, every day for a year for each station, for a week? You know, so when I do ask the stations, we want a little bit more guidelines as to how far back and how often. You know, every week would be wonderful to be able to get these updates personally. But again, I can't get into allegiance yet until we pay them off and pay them down in order to pull those reports. But I know that the station uses allegiance. They can pull those. And again, I get those links during fund drives for K, T, and WBAI.
So I'm moving on to Heather, then Vanessa, then Darlene, then Paul, then Avelia. Vanessa?
Heather.
I beg your pardon. Heather.
My apology. Sorry. Stephanie, I just want to ask, thanks so much for your wonderful report, first of all. But secondly, is there much writing that's being done about radio that you're aware of that we probably should be doing, I think, to a degree in all different platforms? I just want to know, do you know much about that at all? Is there much of that happening?
There isn't much that I'm aware of. I get sent articles occasionally from programmers that they, if they have something of specific interest, but I don't remember what group I had mentioned this to or at what point with the PNB is that I would love to be able to have, you know, a speakers bureau that is part of the, or a community outreach bureau that is part of Pacifica. I know that we have worked with, I've sent to a lot of the stations already just some generic information that needs to be put on the bottom of press releases. There are a few press releases that I've seen that have gone out that don't talk about Pacifica at all. They just talk about the station, which is great, but there isn't that, you know, basic line that goes in the bottom that says, you know, Pacifica Foundation is a network of 5 radio, you know, community-supported radio stations across the country and over 250 affiliate stations, and we house the largest collection of historical radio material in the world, you know, those kind of things. And so I know the affiliates use that on a regular basis, and I just forwarded that also to WBAI, who was sending out some press releases that didn't have that information on the bottom, and I've also sent that out on behalf of KPFK. So we don't have a, you know, speakers bureau, a group that sends out articles and, you know, on a regular basis about radio. So that would be great rather than having sort of generic pockets that are just throughout the network and doesn't have one set message.
Well, great. Thanks for that. So that's something we need to explore, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
So we're at the end of time, so we've got a stack to run through. Vanessa, Darlene, Paul, Avelia, Fred, and Teresa.
Okay, Vanessa. So my point is just, okay, thank you. My comment, I guess, is to reiterate what Jim said. That is exactly my question in terms of the grid review. What will be the criteria, which structure will be put around that in terms of qualifications? What are they looking for? Is it just a bunch of random people who are supposed to be representative of your common person listener? It just kind of needs to be fleshed out. It's an interesting idea, but as usual, it's not so much the what, but the how. So I'm very interested in that.
Well, with the help of the program directors who have started creating criteria, not all of the program directors, but many of them have started creating criteria, or they have in their mind already what is expected of a successful program. And that's not only that the content is kept up to date, but that there's, you know, they're reaching their target. What is their target audience? How do they determine what that target audience is? How much does it cost basically to have that for Pacifica to support that program on the air? And are they raising the funds to meet or match that or exceed that? And that doesn't necessarily need to be only through listener support, but are they actively pursuing any sort of underwriting for that program? Do they have any donors that are willing to support the station based upon the program that they hear? Basically, again, is it reaching that target audience, and what are their plans to keep the program active and alive? So a lot of it is just making sure that people are listening, even within the station itself, are listening to the programs that are going out over the air. We recently had a program on one of the stations that was still referring to President Obama as the president. It was a 10-year-old program that was just being put in to fill in some slots. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we just, you know, we don't have enough time in the day to listen to everything. But I would hope that a lot of the local program committees that are there or people that are interested in programming on the local level will help determine what it is that should be a successful program within that station, as well as the program directors. And as I said, the CABs have come forward with some great surveys that they've wanted to send out to the community as to what do you want to hear, you know, and are we serving your needs? So there's a, you know, a lot of work that needs to be done to determine what is a successful program, because I don't want to base it just on dollars raised, but we do have to take that in consideration. Is that program paying for itself? And do we have the listeners that are necessary? And if we don't have the listeners, is it because it's not reaching our target audience?
Stephanie, I just have a quick follow-up question and a little bit of time I have left. So you said that you want, because I'm on the program committee at PFW, so is Minerva, so is Irene. And so if the program committee members are going to participate in a very specific process that you described, a review of the grid, seeing if certain criteria is being met, would there need to be any qualifications for the program committee members? My expertise is in labor and advocacy. Other people have other areas of expertise, so I'm sure that we could bring, you know, just as listeners of the station, some level of expertise, but I'm just trying to figure out what that would look like. Or maybe that's asking too far ahead.
No, I don't think so, because by being on the programming committee, I would hope that you would consider yourself somewhat of an expert. Otherwise, you wouldn't have signed up for the programming committee. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. I would just hope that people that are part of our programming committees have an interest in enough that they want to make sure that the programming on the station makes sense, that it is, you know, entertaining and informative and educational, and is the programming meeting the goals that are outlined in our own mission? Are they, you know, is the content diverse enough that it's keeping our listeners engaged? And are there, you know, are you receiving as a program committee, are you getting feedback from the community? Are you meeting with the program directors on a regular basis as to, oh, we need evergreens from this group, or, you know, we need, you know, a little more updating with this group? So I think that just because someone is on the committee, they're already showing that they have an interest in programming.
I agree. Interest is not expertise, but what's evergreen?
Oh, an evergreen is a program that in case somebody doesn't show up, that we, or something happens and there's some dead air, or that program just can't work that week, or that programmer calls up and says, I can't be there, is that each program has one basic program that can fill into that slot. It's, you know, that evergreen tree that is always growing regardless of the weather, is that we have that slot, so it doesn't have to be replaced with something else.
Okay, thank you.
So let me remind everybody that we did pass time, and I'm going to declare us having passed time as of now. Darlene, Paul, Teresa, Jim, you've already spoken. Please be brief. Minerva.
Actually, my hand
Jan
was
Goodman,
up.
Jan Goodman, I asked to be on the stack. Excuse me, Jan Goodman, I asked to be on the stack.
Sorry, Jan, I did not hear you. And yes, go ahead on the stack.
Okay, just put me on the stack with everybody else, yeah.
Okay, Darlene? Can't hear you.
Yeah, there's something that Jim keeps saying, and I need to make a correction, that none of the other stations have turned in those grid numbers, the detailed. And I sent that in from KPFA, an Excel spreadsheet that was, it was a workbook with many spreadsheets in it of all that information, and confirmed with Jim that he received it. So I want that resolved, that it's not only WPAI that's actually done the work. But what I want to offer to the other stations and to Stephanie is that Excel workbook with all those spreadsheets, that is totally usable by any station. You take out the KPFA information. All the formulas are in place. You pop in your own. So there is a tool to offer to the other stations to do that detailed work on your programs. Thanks.
And I know one of the things too that the general manager at KPFA is doing, because he was sharing them with me, is letters that were sent to each programmer based upon that information that said basically name of your program, when you air. So we had all those details up at the top. And then the bottom was, this is how much your program has raised. This is how much it's expected to raise. This is how much is a shortfall. Therefore, let's meet and discuss underwriting, sponsorships, how we can get more listeners. How can we help you? And then if they're doing well, it's like, you're doing great. Thank you. Let's share some of your ideas with other programmers. So he's really focusing on meeting individually with each programmer and keeping them updated on a regular basis as to if they're meeting, exceeding, or below their goals.
Thank you. Paul?
Right.
Teresa? Jim, I'm going to put you last. Minerva, Irene, Fred, Jan, and Jim last. Paul?
All right, great. Thanks. Great report. So a couple of questions. Are we back to fund drives now at WBAI? We're doing fund drives. You use the term fund drives. I haven't heard that for a long time. And how is BAI doing, by the way? We're in the middle of the fund drive, and especially compared to the previous model. And let's see, the other thing is, I wanted to, since we're talking about sharing programs, I wanted to definitely throw out there Linda Sarsour, who does a program Tuesday morning, 7 a.m., What's Going On WBAI would be an excellent choice for a national program. Are we considering, I don't want to ask because I don't want to get a no. So I'm not going to ask, organized response to the conventions this summer, at least the Democratic, if not both. And in the run up to in September, and not just relying on Amy's program, which doesn't in New York doesn't have the audience it used to have, and we're not able to build anything around it. So can we do something that's homegrown that we can depend on? I'm glad. Are you meeting with programmers in New York soon to help find underwriters and things like that? Sounds like a great idea. I'm in on it. All right. And I'd like to see some more news, of course, across the station. And I'd like to go back to a must carry for news. Thanks.
A lot of questions, Paul. Stephanie.
Some of them I kind of heard and some of them I didn't. The WBAI did just hold a fund drive that was a week long. I anticipated it to be 2 weeks long, but they did it for just 1 week and then went back to their every day doing a fund drive. So I believe that there's another week long fund drive that WBAI will be launching on the 29th. And a lot of this is just hoping to raise funds for the tower, but it seemed to have done a good job and there weren't any premiums that were involved. It was just people giving money to give money to the station in Pacifica. And that's kind of what we're hoping to do. I didn't quite understand the convention.
What this summer, is there going to be any organized response to the conventions this summer in Milwaukee and Chicago and the run up to the election in September on a national basis? I mean, each station I know is probably doing something, but is there a way to tie that together?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the things that we're doing working with the affiliates, is that we are putting together a national program. I'm sorry, Mike. Dog is like 30 years old, and when he hears the gardener, he starts to go nuts, so I apologize for that. One of the things that Kaja had reported is that we are working with the affiliate stations in Chicago in a training in putting together, and We're still in the working process of it, but we have been talking to different reporters or programmers, not only in our network, but also reaching out to the affiliates and using the talent of the affiliates in the cities where we have stations where the conventions are taking place and getting their, you know, paying to get their, you know, helping support them, getting the stories that local, and then putting that together in a program from one of our programmers on, and also from someone from the affiliate stations to put together a daily program that will be leading or going throughout the conventions and then a follow-up after the convention, and doing it for both the Republican and the Democratic. So we're still in the process of working on the details of that. But Ursula from the affiliates brought that to my attention about a month or so ago. We have talked to the general managers about it. Again, we have talked to a couple of our political reporters already about that. We've talked to the affiliate stations about it in Chicago and Milwaukee, and we're trying to figure out at this point just the logistics. But our goal with support from a grant that Ursula wrote to help this training process, feeding on new reporters and training them during the coverage of this, which would then cover our educational aspect of our mission. And then the national office putting some funds into it as well. So again, we're still in the discussion, but we're 95% moving forward with it. We just need to get the details of it. We're having a meeting tomorrow, John and Ursula and I, so we'll have more information on that soon.
Just a quick follow-up. Do you foresee any sort of must-carry situation where all the stations carry some of this coverage, like during the convention, for example, or something like that, during the election night, something like that?
I am hoping, and we brought it up at the last general managers meeting that we have every month. We brought it up. Some of the stations were enthusiastic to cover it, others not so much. So hopefully everybody will.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you. Yeah. It's important. I think folks should do it. You should push people to do it.
Thank you.
Last thing,
Paul?
Linda Sarsour.
Yeah. You mentioned that already. We need to move on down the line. We've got lots of people who want to ask. Teresa.
I'm sorry. Did I hear you say that WBAI or KPFK did not have any rent expenses or facility expenses?
We are caught up in past due rent. We were able to pay all past due rent at WBAI.
Okay. All right. And then, so my question is, maybe we'll be talking about this in executive session. I'm wondering if we are caught up in expenses, could we start paying back some of our loans? I'm sure they would be appreciated, but we'll talk about that in executive session. Thank you.
Okay, next, Minerva.
All right, thank you. And thank you, Stephanie, for an excellent report. I'm excited about the programming piece and the grid and getting, looking at making sure that our listeners are getting the programs that they want to hear. Because, and I'll tell you, for me to become member of the LSB, one listener wrote the name of a program that had been on the air for a while, and she said, can you please help get this back on the air? So, you know, that was one, but I've since met others who have the same energy. There's certain music and things that they want to hear, and the listeners are very adept to the programs that they like, and they do share that with us, and we just want to be sure at WPFW in the programming committee that we can work in concert with the program director, whomever, the interim GM, and whomever else involved, to be sure that our listeners are getting and hearing the music that they want to hear. So thank you for that. And we look forward to taking part in anything that you're doing that will help us, even those of us who don't have radio background. We know the music we like and what we want to hear. And so I think that's just a given for anyone. When you're driving during the day, you know which programs you want to listen to going home or during the day. And thank you, Fred. I will stop talking. Take care. Thank you again, okay. Stephanie.
Next up.
You skipped me. You skipped me. I don't know how you did it, but I was next up. And then.
Okay, so Irene, you say I skipped you?
Yeah.
Irene can have my position.
Irene, then Fred, then Jan, then Jim. Please be brief. Okay.
I'm being very brief.
No, no, not you, Irene. Go ahead. Speak.
My situation here is thank you for being here. And I just want to say to you that there are some programs that have been removed from WPFW that have been removed abruptly and without reasoning. And then we have some where though we don't have any money for them, they are still there. And they're not really given anything for these physicians. So I'm just saying, we just need to make sure we have programming on our stations that have substance. And are worthy of being there. And our listeners are hearing that. And we need to listen to our stations on that matter. No more.
Okay.
That's
next
where
up
these reports that, you know, Jim has been asking for and that we get come into play. Because when you really break it down on what each program is making, and again, it's not just dollars, but there are some discrepancies across the network where some programs aren't raising funds, but they have small listenership, but they're costing an exorbitant amount of money. So we need to take a very close, open look at them.
And Stephanie, you just muted yourself.
No, we just need to look at them practically, not just, oh, that's my favorite show, what needs to be there. If it's costing a lot of money and there's no listeners and it's not raising money, then we need to talk to the programmer and the general manager and the program director and, you know, have that heart-to-heart moment.
Okay, Fred, then Jan, then Jim.
I'm going to be really brief. I really love the idea of a speakers bureau. I really hope that we work with the affiliates as well and incorporate those great speakers that are there and that we brand this as a Pacifica-wide project. And also, I think that we should broadcast some of these great speeches, great speakers talking about important issues. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Jan. Jan?
I'm here.
Go ahead. I'm recognizing you to speak.
Okay. So I think it's a very important thing that each station, when there is a donor who donates money and they donate perhaps during a particular program, that the donors be asked what are their favorite 3 or 5 or 10 programs, because most donors actually listen to several programs and don't, donate 4 times or 5 times to each of their favorite programs. In order to get some kind of a sense of a real sense of what programs are being listened to and supported, we can't do it just on the basis of when they make their 1 donation a year or their 2 donations a year. And I would like us to consider, and I would like Stephanie to consider and each GM or whatever it is, how we can survey these people, every donor, as to what their favorite programs so that we get a better sense. Because, for instance, you know, I like the program. I like the news. You know, programs. Sometimes like the music and the, you know,
Jan, you have 90 seconds.
Okay, that's it. And without that, all of this talk of which program.
Jan, we're losing you. Jim?
Yeah, several quick points. First of all, the program committee last year, in fact, did indeed start to develop and implement ideas of national programming. So that's why it's important to not have these committees just simply go out of existence. Secondly, please, Darlene, send that information again to everybody in the board so I can look at it more carefully, because all I saw was aggregate numbers of quarters. I did not see hour-by-hour breakdowns. The reason we need that kind of information is that can be one criterion among many to look at how shows do. And everybody's completely right. You can't just simply bottom line everything. Because the other issue that I get from listening to everybody talking about this is, and this relates to what's, Kaja raised earlier, the whole question of capacity building with training people to do news reporting. We need to, that's where we fall off as a network. We really have to reinstitute that nationwide. KPFA has done all that great work over the years. It can't be allowed to simply be out there in California. We have to share that and creatively develop that so all the producers can have access to that who come on board in the
You're
network.
90 seconds, Jim.
That's all.
Okay, Darlene?
Yeah, I'm just answering Jim. Jim, we went over this about the KPFA report. It is a workbook of multiple pages. You only looked at the summary sheet and dismissed it. We went over it and you said you were going to look at it again. I'll send it to Stephanie. I'll send it to you. I'll send it as an example of what any station can use this tool as well as it being specific to the work that was done at KPFA. Also, KPFA has done from a pro bono professional, has done listener surveys this year, and it was totally based on if each show was put before the listener, the participant. Do you watch this? Do you go to this program regularly? Do you go there sometimes? Do you never go there? Did you used to listen to this, but don't anymore? So there's other examples of being able to, of look at programming that has nothing to do with the money it brings in.
Kaja has requested, I request, forward that, all the information you've brought up, Darlene, to the entire PNB. So we're not just relying on one committee to inform us.
Okay.
Let me mention that we missed an important item for the strategic planning committee, and that was nominations.
Chair.
And that was nominations for directors for the strategic planning committee.
Chair.
Yes.
I'd like to be recognized. I move the agenda.
Yes, Fred.
I move the agenda. We are 30 minutes over. People have gone on and on and on. We need to be in executive session 30 minutes ago.
So you're moving to adjourn.
Correct.
Open session into executive session.
Please.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any objection being 30 minutes late?
Teresa Allen, I object.
Yes,
I say if we get these five nominations for strategic planning before we get off this out of this session, then we can start the election, which we move to send to the tellers.
Then I will accept a move that we extend for 5 minutes.
Okay, so nominations. Are there nominations for the strategic directors to serve on the strategic planning committee, and the secretary will take the names for first KPFA?
Teresa Allen.
Teresa Allen is for candidates.
I nominate Zach Colvere.
Zach, do you accept the nomination?
Sure.
Okay, are there other nominations for KPFA? Okay, Zach, thank you. There can be, let me just remind everybody, there can be write-ins. KPFK, are there nominations for KPFK?
Delicious.
Yeah, it's Colin. KPFK, no one's going to volunteer or nominate? We'll twist arms later. KPFT, are there nominations?
I'll nominate myself.
Okay, and so you accept that nomination. Are there other nominations right now from KPFT? Hearing none. WBAI, nominations from WBAI.
I nominate Serene.
Paul nominates Serene. Serene, do you accept the nomination?
Good idea, Paul. Sure.
Serene, you accept the nomination? Yes, okay. Sure. Anybody else? Okay.
Jan Goodman, I nominate Harvey Wasserman for KPFK. I know this is out of order, but so that we have somebody nominated.
Okay. So Harvey, do you accept the nomination? Harvey.
Hello. Can I abstain for a minute?
Okay. WBAI, we have Serene nominated. WPFW.
This is Vanessa. I nominate Ron.
Okay. Are there other nominations for WPFW?
James Sigurd.
Hmm?
I was going to make the same nomination, so yeah, I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does Ron accept?
Thank you for asking.
I do accept.
Okay. So we have a nominee, Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I nominate myself for the Strategic Planning Committee for New York.
Okay. Excellent. All right.
Madam Chair, are we accepting nominations from the affiliates?
Yes, we are. That's next.
Nominate Kaja. This is Heather.
Kaja, lucky you. Do you accept?
I accept.
Okay. Yeah. Heather, I guess since you nominated him, you're not nominating yourself.
Well, actually, I'd like to.
Okay, so then there are two nominees
I nominate Heather.
Dueling nomination.
Excellent. I need to say that I've been looking forward to a strategic planning committee altogether, actually. It's wonderful there's so many people on this. So anyway, whatever.
Okay. Reminder. So we have nominees in each category. Reminder. And so the secretary will instruct the teller. Write-ins are permitted. So Teresa, don't hear you.
Point of information, Madam Chair. According to who can be on this committee, the Strategic Planning Committee, can we have two affiliate people or do we have to choose just one?
One.
Okay, thank you.
Can I make a motion that we expand that to two affiliate people?
Bring that in. There is.
I mean, they're totally different sides of the country.
I don't think we can, Madam Chair. I don't think we can at this late date.
May I speak to that? May I speak to that?
I suggest that if there is an amendment to the original motion, it needs to come up at our next meeting, the same time that Jim Dingman's is going to come up.
Fine.
May I speak to that?
Yes.
Yeah. As the person who chaired the Strategic Planning Committee for 2 years, anybody who came on that committee, we did not follow a policy where they were not allowed to participate in the debate or colloquy. And that would include Kaja if he came into the committee. I mean, that's up to whoever is going to be chairing it. But we were open to all directors who came in to actually participate in the debate, which is what we did. And that includes the non-directors.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jim. So nominations are closed as of this evening, though write-ins are possible. Is there a motion to go out of public session? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're going out of public session.